thank God for his amazing grace. Glad we can greet one another in the precious name of Jesus. And it's all because of him. I'd like to look, if you want to turn with us over into Isaiah, the 62nd chapter. Isaiah, the 62nd chapter. I believe before we start here, we'll just bow our heads for prayer. Father, this morning we come into thy hallowed presence with thanksgiving in our hearts for what thou hast done for each one of us. We realize, Lord, how little we are and how needy we are. And we pray that thou wilt look down upon us this morning, search out each one of our hearts, try the reins of our hearts. And we pray that thou wilt help us, Lord, that as the word goes out, that we might have open hearts and ready hearts, ready minds to obey the will of God. We pray that thou wilt take the word and drive it home. Help us, dear Father, that we might be encouraged on the way to heaven. Help us to be looking up, realizing that our redemption draweth nigh. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We start reading this chapter. I wonder what it would be like to have the old prophet Isaiah to stand up here this morning. In my mind, I don't know what you think that Isaiah looked like, but I can seem to see him in my mind's eye with his robe on like the Israelites wore, and his long beard and concern written on his face. And he's penning these words, being inspired of God in the 62nd chapter of Isaiah. And I think it's not just for back in Isaiah's day, but I believe that it was recorded and preserved for us today. So let's begin reading here. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate, for thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. He that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give the corn, thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare you the way of the Lord, of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. And his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. This chapter begins with some words that I think that all of us should really think about. The very first verse, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. In our situation, we think about God's church, Zion. We think of, in the Old Testament, there was an earthly kingdom. In the New Testament, there is a heavenly kingdom set up within the hearts of men and women. And here's a faithful man of God. Here's an old prophet that says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. I believe he is an old-fashioned preacher. I believe he was a man of God. I believe he was someone who God spoke to and he talked to. I believe he was someone that stayed close to God, and I believe he was concerned about the ones that he was accountable for. And you know, it doesn't just relate to the ministers of our congregation or other congregations, but it relates to each one of us as fathers, as mothers, as the ones that are watching our lives. You know, each one of us, God is going to use us if we'll allow him to use us. But if we're not faithful, then there'll be casualties along the way. I never forget, and you probably heard the little story many times over, I don't know if it was in Europe or where it was, where the sheep were, and you've heard the story about the little fellow that was out watching the sheep. And they told him, he said, if the wolf comes, said, all you've got to do is holler, wolf, 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 and we'll drop everything we have and we'll all run to help you and drive the wolf off. And so the little shepherd boy, he decided he's going to have some fun. He's going to see what they'll do. If they really, will this really work or will it not? So he got out there with his sheep, and there was no wolf in sight, no wolf around. But he hollered out, wolf, wolf, wolf. And here they came, all the other shepherds, all the other ones came. They came to run the wolf off, to help this little fellow that was out watching his sheep. And they came, and there was no wolf. He had betrayed the trust that had been placed upon him to protect that flock. And this happened several times. And finally, the little fellow hollered, wolf, wolf. But he had betrayed the responsibility that had been placed upon him too many times, and they didn't come anymore. But the problem was that this time the wolf came, and he rend and devoured the flock and scattered the flock and tore the sheep up. And there are different kinds of responsibilities placed upon each one of us, whether we're ministers or deacons or bishops or fathers in the home, leaders in the home, mothers, brothers and sisters, that God wants us to be on guard for each other. We're not doing it to just see what happens if we holler wolf, wolf, if we can get a stir something up. But really, there are real wolves out there. Paul said, and I was looking for that scripture this morning, that, you know, when I leave you, he said, there's probably going to be wolves that are going to come in and come in among you and try to rend the flock and devour the flock. And he was warning them, there's some real big, not just earthly wolves, but real satanic wolves that are going to try to rend and devour the flock. And he said, for Zion's sake, for God's church, I will not hold my peace. I will not hold my peace. The old prophet, you know, there might have been someone that said, don't be so boisterous about it. Don't be so loud about it. Don't be so vehement about it. You're going to scare the people. Sort of like one time we went over to a nursing home and passed out some tracts, and some of these tracts were on getting ready to meet the Lord and different ones that had gone out into eternity without God. And we passed them out. And the next time, some of them said, don't pass those tracts out. You scare the old folks. You scare the old folks. Well, if there's a time to be afraid, it's a time when there's an opportunity to get ready. And if we're not ready, then there's a time to be afraid. I was reading just the other day in a little conservation magazine, and they were talking about wolves and how that they had just been about knocked out in this area, and there was only maybe less than 1,000 all across the United States, the big old timber wolves. But then they had put some stipulations on it where you were not to shoot any wolves. And all of a sudden there's a big comeback, and now there's, like they said, over 5,000 of them all the way from up into Canada, clear down to Mexico, and all across the United States. Big, green-eyed timber wolves. And we're talking about something that is just an animal. Something that if most of us had a good 30-06, we wouldn't be too much afraid of. But if you walk out in the woods and you run onto something like this and you don't have something to protect yourself, you better be afraid of it. And so now they have lifted the restrictions again and opened it up. The sheep farmers and the ones, they were losing their lambs and losing their sheep and losing calves, and all across the country, the cry has gone out, there's something taking place. We've got to do something about it. You can't just say, well, we just love to see the wolves. It's really something, you know, sort of like seeing the mountain lions. If you see one around this part of the country, everybody wants to know about it. If there's a roadkill, it's in the paper. It's all around. I thought just the other day as I looked out, getting ready to go to bed, going around, checking the locks, checking everything out. I want things in order before I pillow my head. And I glanced out the window, and they were saying that some of these creatures are even going into the big cities. And they're so adaptable to the big cities that they're going in and staying right around people's houses and catching their pets and catching their animals. They're getting to where that they're not afraid. And you know, we need some faithful watchmen around that are willing to say, when there is a real wolf, when there is a real problem, there's something that's devouring the flock, we need to be willing to stand up and say something about it and not be quiet about it. We need to stand for the truth and love the truth. And I glanced out the window. I just read that little conservation magazine about the coyotes and the wolves. And I thought, well, what would I do if I'd glance out here and it's dark and everybody else is asleep and I'm locking up and getting everything ready and look out the window here on the deck and this big old slinky mountain lion come up there and grab that one, the little black dog that's out there. What would I do? But I don't have many guns in my house, but I guarantee you, if there's one that works, I'd find it. And I'd let him have everything that I could let him have, and I'd have another clip right ready to go too. I wouldn't play around. You know, you can't play around with sin and Satan. You've got to do your best by the help of God to get rid of it, to destroy it. Whether if it's in my life, it's in somebody else's life. Be a faithful watchman, a father that is so concerned about his family that he's more concerned about where the children are going to end up than trying to always please them when they really don't realize where something is going to take them. And young people and children, you need to realize if your parents are concerned about you and they maybe won't let you go here or let you go there and you just wish you could go, that there is a reason. They've seen by experience where certain things can take you and how it can destroy you spiritually. I remember my daddy said to me when I was in high school down at Rogersville, we were in vocational agriculture class, and I just thought that was really something. I enjoyed it. We all had to have a project, and I had laying hens, and the one that was in charge, Mr. Barrow was his name. He was a real nice man, an elderly man, and we young fellows would just really liked him. It was included was the Future Farmers of America, and every boy in the class wanted to be a part of the Future Farmers of America. But my daddy said, no, Steve, he said, we're not going to go ahead and be a part of something like that. He figured that's something that I didn't need to be involved in. I was enjoying the class, but they had their nice little coats with their emblems on them, and it really struck home. I wanted to be a part of it. I took my project, my laying hens, and later bought some cattle, and they did pretty good. And come time for the end of the year, and the ones that were in certain positions, they got prizes, and I was able to walk across the stage and take my prize as one of the ones in the class. But you know, Daddy said to me one day, he said, Steve, he said, the ones that really love you are the ones that care for your soul. And we care for your soul. The teacher is a nice teacher, and he's teaching good things. He even taught some things that our teachers in the public schools wouldn't even dare teach today. He said, I don't care. He said, they may throw me in jail. He walked up there to the blackboard, and he said, there's two important things, the most important things. And he said, if you're involved in agriculture, you're probably going to have a job because people need to eat. But he said, the most important thing, and he wrote on the blackboard, is food for your soul. Now, what teacher in a public school would do that, would dare do that today? Underneath that, he said, physical food is important. Everybody has to eat. But he said, the most important thing is spiritual food. I believe he was a good man. But you know, my daddy saw some things through experience. He'd gone through some things that he was watching over the children carefully, guarding their souls. There are wolves out there that are seeking to rend and to devour the flock. And thank God we have some faithful watchmen. He says in this scripture in verse 6, I have set watchmen over the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Thank God for the old-fashioned preachers, the ones that are willing to stand for the truth, the ones that will not hold their peace, the ones that will sound the warning, and they'll stand up strong on the wall and be on guard. My daddy was in the army during World War II. He was not, probably didn't know anything about non-resistance. He prayed God would help him that he would never have to shoot anybody. But he was put on guard. And they would station them around the camp, the guards. And at night, everything was quiet. And it was tempting just to go to sleep, just to settle back and go to sleep. But he said, I guess many a times he'd taken his canteen and dumped it over his head, cold water, to wake himself up, to be alert and ready and watching to see if there was anything out there that could get to the rest of the men. And, you know, that's the way we need to be. The enemy is out there. We don't need to be hollering, wolf, wolf, when there is no wolf. But there are real wolves that are seeking to devour the flock, destroy God's flock. And when we see something that is going to destroy God's flock, we need to be willing to stand for the truth and name it out. Sometimes it's easy to just be general, to generalize things and just try to not be too specific. But I believe God wants us to name it out so that the sheep know where the warning is and where the problem is. God has placed a responsibility upon each of us, fathers, mothers, each one of you in your place. You have those terrific responsibilities, young souls that are going to spend eternity someplace. I'm thankful that I had a praying mother. She's not here anymore. But I'm thankful for the others that are praying for you, that pray for us as we do our very best to do what the Lord wants us to do. Watchmen that are set upon the walls. I thought it was really interesting. In verse 10, he says, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. And there's work for each one of us to do. We're building for eternity, building the highway that many will trot over. We're going ahead. We're preparing the way. And there's a crowd of followers coming along behind. And so I believe he's speaking of, he says, pick up all of the stones and those things. I thought of the stumbling blocks, the things that would cause people to trip, to falter, the things that look just like a little thing, to get them out of the way, clean the way up, make a good road, that it might be the highway of holiness that leads to a holy heaven. Gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. And God's word is the only standard that we can hold up and know that it's always reliable. It never fails. We never have to worry about being an error there. But it is something that we can judge our lives by God's holy word. And the very last verse, I believe, brings us to the place that we want to be. As we've been faithful in our responsibilities in the church, in the home, in verse 12, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. That scripture came to my mind over there where it talked about the disciples. And the people looked at them, and they perceived that they had been with Jesus. They perceived that they had been with Jesus. When they look at you, when they look at me, and our lives, and what we talk about, and what we laugh about, and what we enjoy, do they perceive there's something different about us? We were working on the Grant Street Viaduct in Springfield. And one man was talking about, you know, just how it all started. They're talking about all kinds of things. The fellows on top of the bridge, there'd be women walk by underneath, and they'd be whistling. I didn't get involved in that. They asked me, you know, why not? Well, I said, I've got a faithful wife at home. I've got someone that I love, and I have no desire for that corruption, that type of thing. They were talking about different ways of life and that, you know, it's okay for people just to choose their own way of doing things. And I took a stand about that. Sometimes you don't have to say much, but people can tell. And one of the fellows said something about me being a Christian. And I said, well, how do you know that? Well, we just know, he said. And but you know, by the help of God, maybe each one of us can be like a beacon set up on a hillside, like a big lighthouse, and the raging winds and waves are hitting the rocks and people are being threatened with death. But if by the grace of God we can keep the lower lights burning and the lighthouse with the bright beam shining out, the light of Jesus shining out, some precious soul can be saved from shipwreck. Some boy, some girl can be saved from going down the way that is going to land them on the rocks where there is no return. Sometimes they don't realize it taking just a little step. I don't see what's the matter looking at that magazine or, you know, seeing this on my phone or the other fellows do it too. They look at it too. And yet you start to look at it and there's something inside that is, your heart starts pounding and you glance over your shoulder and be sure nobody's looking. What is that? The Holy Spirit is faithful. He's trying to shield you from the rocks, trying to keep you from being destroyed spiritually. Don't let that go unheeded. Heed the warnings of God. He's doing it to try to protect us and help us to make it safely into the city of God. Why don't we stand for prayer?